my own life, my own life balance. I when I got out of prison, I went up in the mountains and I looked around. And I sat down and I seen the water all polluted. I seen the trees being cut down. I seen this concrete maze that man has made. And it's like I had come from another place that's not the same as the place that you guys are, or that world is in. And I thought, well, who's responsible for this? Whose job is this to make sure that we got air here to breathe? Because we're going to run out of air here, man. Well, this whole planet's going to run out of air. And I look at the water, and I look at the way they're misusing the resources and the water, and how they use tons and tons and tons and tons of paper. You got 200 million people shoveling paper all day long. You know, and you think there's something has to be done here, you know, to reach a balance to where we can have life on this planet. You watch the people feed tons of grain to animals, and then they kill the animals and eat the animals. Why don't they just eat the grain and leave the animals live? It don't make sense. Why are they eating the animals? They eat flesh and blood, and then they go to church and talk about thou shalt not kill. And they kill every day with every breath they take, you know. And you say, you got to quit killing the animals, man. You got to quit eating the flesh. What's wrong with you, man? Gee, man. And then I say that the life they're killing is mine. And then I go out and they're cutting a great big old tree down. And I say, oh, I feel that. I feel it. What are you doing? You're cutting me down here. So I tell him, don't cut me down or I'll shoot you. You know, if you keep cutting the trees down, I'm going to cut you down. And he said, well, look, I got a wife and kids and I need the money. I had the job and I don't know anything else. And I said, well, I can't blame you. Who's your boss? So I go to the boss and the boss says, well, I've worked 20 years to be foreman here. And he says, this is my way of life, and my kids are going to college, and I need the money. I said, well, it ain't your fault. And then I said, well, who's your boss? And he said, Ace and Ace Lumber Company. So I go to the Ace Lumber Company, and they a subsidiary to a Remscat company, and 40% of that stock owned by Reverend Sun and Moon, another, let me say Korea. I shouldn't say Reverend Sun and Moon, because I'm not sure of that, but... then another 20% is owned by Bolivia, and somebody else owns 10%, and then Margaret of Malibu owns 10%, and you go check Margaret out, and she died 5 years ago, and she willed all her assets to the cats, and she's got 300 cats living in a 10-bedroom mansion with a butler and a chauffeur, and everybody's provided for life as long as they take care of the cats, and the cats are reproducing themselves, so we got a legal lock on the trees, and so the cats are walking around cutting all the trees down, and everybody else, you know, in other words, the whole thing is just, man, you got to redo it. That's all there is to it. You got to re-wallpaper and change. You got to change within the system. So that's what we've been doing. And every time you hear, I'm going crazy, and I'm busting up everything, and I burn up everything, and I went to the nut war 4 or 5 times, then you'll see Governor Brown jump up and say, oh, we've got you a redwood park. In other words, all the time that we raise hell down here and say, well, anybody that cuts redwood trees down has no respect for their own children. Those trees are thousands of years old and they belong to the kids. Don't be cutting them down. They say, well, we need our hot tubs, you know. So then we get hammers and bust all the windows out and go to the church and bang everything up and burn everything up and say, now, if anybody does that, and then their fear gets to running, and the only thing that the politicians understand is fear. You run a little fear at them and then they'll all change their ways, you know. You run a little fear at them in this respect. They're scared to death of the public. They're scared of public opinion. They're scared of you guys that do this kind of thing here.
Looking back to, you know, the Tate LaBianca murders, would there have been a more, I use the word acceptable, means of expressing your political thought?
You see what I'm saying? You're still stuck in your head that I had something to do with that.
So you're
still stuck in that. I'll give it to you this way. Here's what I had to do with it. I've influenced everybody that I was around, but I could influence nobody any more than I've been influenced. If you put me in reform school and you beat me with a leather strap, and then you drag me up down the hallways and break my jaw and you bust my eyes and then you throw me out into the world, you see? All the things that you've done to me, I got permission to do to you. Every time that you have misused me, when I get back on the street, you wonder why crime raises. I come in here and a cop misuses me in the hallway. Well, when I get out, what am I going to do? If I can see that the state of California can take and kill people in the gas chamber, doesn't that give me permission to do the same thing? You see what I'm saying? You're dealing with one mind, but the people that are running the mind that you're dealing with, they don't even know what the mind is. They think they got a mind. Nobody's got a mind. The mind has everybody. You know, but everybody wants to think they've really got something going, so they play all these different little political games. I'm interested in my life, the order that runs in my atmosphere, in my world, the one I know. I can't know what anybody else knows. All I can know is what I know. I've been raised as a crook, you know, and I've been raised as a criminal, even though my crime hasn't really been but stealing a few cars and running away from home and juvenile delinquent stuff. I have still learned the ways of criminals. I got no malicious mischief in my mind to do anything other than maybe put some order into the world that I see as mine. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to like, and probably the world ain't going to like, but I'll tell it to you just like it is. I was raised to ride my own beef. If I do something, I'm responsible for my own actions. If I bust somebody in the mouth, I'll stand up to that. I won't back off of that. If it means my life, I will give my life for my principle. It's that simple. You know, in short, the fire, it didn't budge me. I got out of the fire. It burnt my face off. My whole face was burnt off, and all my hands was burnt off. But they all grew back, and I'm still here. And I am still in the same thought, and I'm not intimidated by anything, ever. And I could die 1,000,000,000 more battles, and it's still the same. But I am this way. If I wanted to, had it been me up in this Sharon Tate's house, it would have been a lot worse. Thank God that your children did it for you, and I didn't get started on it. Because if I'd have got started on it, it would have been a lot worse than it was. Because I am 10 times worse.
So you are maintaining that you have no connection.
I didn't have
connection
with those killings. With that group of murders there, I had nothing to do with that. But now what I've done that you don't know about could be 10 times worse than that. And I would be justified in doing it if I did it with my life. And I gave my life for that, just like those children did. The dispensation of truth is not a difficult thing. And most children can understand it. If you're willing to give your life for something, you go and you pick up your uniform, you get your M16, you put your helmet on, and you get in that jungle, and you do what your country tells you to do. If you don't, then there's nothing, you're not there. There's nothing to you. Because all a man is honor. If he has no honor, he has no truth, he has no faith, he has no trust, what is it? He's a jellyfish, you know? If those are my kids, I would have been proud of them. I really would have, because I seen and I understood what happened, exactly. But I'm bound by another law that you're not bound by. I'm bound by a no-snitch law. I can't rat. If I rat, then I get killed, because I live in the underworld. In the underworld, they don't rat.
So you're saying that despite the fact that you say you weren't connected with it, you know who
Sure. I know the name of every mouse. I know every cockroach. I know what the spiders are thinking. Sure, I knew exactly. But it wasn't my affair. It wasn't my road. And it wasn't my business. And if someone thinks that they're right about something, I'm not going to get in their way, because I've learned. I'll give you this for a lesson. There was two guys in a cell. We'll call one Mr. A and one Mr. B. Mr. A said, "I'm going to hang myself." And Mr. B says, "No, brother, I like you. I don't want you to hang yourself." And Mr. A said, "You know, I'm miserable, and I just want to get out of this world, and I want to go off into another level. I'm gone." And the other guy said, "No, I'm not going to let you." So Mr. A killed Mr. B, and then he hung himself. Well, I'm not going to get in nobody's way. If they're headed to the ventilator, I'm not going to bite somebody to keep them alive. If people are set to commit suicide and they want to go sideways, get them on out the door. I can't use them. I don't need no suicidal maniacs around me, because I've found this also. Every time you save somebody's life, you've got to be responsible for that. If you see somebody that wants to commit suicide and you say, "No, don't commit suicide," and then they go kill your best friend, then you'll wish to hell you'd let them go ahead and do what they wanted to do, see? But this country is overprotective of its people. It's always, in other countries I haven't found this to be so, but in this country they don't want you to do this because they're afraid it'll hurt you. Come on. They're afraid it'll hurt you. That's like mother saying, "Don't climb the tree, you might fall and hurt yourself." Well, she might fall and hurt herself because she couldn't climb the tree. But you're a kid, you can climb the tree. You see what I'm saying? In other words, the older people have always put their values off on the younger people. And it's just the same old process that it's been since time began. The younger people keep throwing it off. And that's what the kids did in this, down there in L.A. They threw that all off of them. They wanted to get their brother out of jail. And if they couldn't get their brother out of jail, you go to a lawyer, and it's known well all through the prison. Nobody likes criminal law. There's no money in criminal law. The criminal lawyers that are there are generally paid by the civil and the colleges. They pay the, what do they call them, public defenders. You know, they have to pay the public defenders because there's just no money in criminal law. It's a dirty business. Nobody likes it. So when you got a whole bunch of kids that get involved and they go to the lawyer takes their money, tells them a lie. Takes their money, tells them a lie. Any place in the penitentiary in the world or in this country you go to, they say, what do you think of a lawyer? And they say, well, they take your money and lie. They take your money and lie. Unless you got a whole lot of money, then you give them a little bit, and then you got to string them out to where they think they're going to get some more. You know, and you have to play in the larceny because the lawyer has to be worse than the crook, or he can't trick the crook to taking a deal and going to jail, you know. In other words, the system is just, it's not what our fathers laid out. It's become corroded. And it's crusty and it's dusty and it needs redoing.
It's been 14 years since you were convicted of the Tate-LaBianca killings, yet there still exists a group of people who other people designate the Manson family, you designate your friends. They still remain to this day, even people that you had never known. How do you explain how the Manson family or your friends have been able to stay together this long?
We've been truthful with each other. There's one thing I demand with anybody that I'm with, is I ain't lying to you, so don't you lie to me. Because if you lie to me, I might just knock you down on the spot. I've got three, four, don't talk to me at all. If you're not going to talk the truth to me and I catch you in a lie, I'll either get you away from me some way, one way or another. I'll knock you down or do something to you to get you away from me, get you off of me, because I don't
feel that you've come out of it nonetheless.
You cannot break man's soul. You can bust his personality up. You can rearrange his thought pattern, but you cannot break his soul. His soul is forever. It's infinite.
Has it had an effect on you adversely, that is?
No, made me a little stronger. Yeah. A little more stronger in the original feelings that I had. My mind's not changed about anything. I say the mind is not changed. I keep saying my mind, but I know it's not mine. It belongs to everybody. And so does the family that they have. It's not mine, it's yours.
The idea that a group of people associated as they were when you were out of jail does put a scare into some people now. Do people have anything to fear from Charlie Manson's friends?
Sure. Sure they do. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, is that a direct fear or just a fear that they might expose something that?
I fear they might do some positive things. A lot of the negative people would really definitely be afraid. The negative people would be scared. You know, the ones that are wrong. See, when someone does something to you, then they fear you. If no one does anything to you, they have no reason to fear you. If they've never done you any wrong, then why should they be afraid of you? I think somebody calls that karma, don't they?
Yeah.
And they keep burning me up and saying, my karma's bad. And I keep looking at them and smiling. But then I see 2,000 or 3,000 dead bodies laying around all burned up. And I say, oh, well, somebody's karma wasn't right there. They did, maybe somebody did something wrong, you know. And everybody's been trying to kill me for the last 15 years. They've handcuffed me and drugged me up down these hallways. I've been through all kinds of things that nobody wants to know about. Nobody wants to see. We'll just take this one over in the corner. It's like this. You're walking down the street and you see four or five guys kicking a guy. And four or five guys jumping on this guy and jumping up and down, beating him up. And you don't do anything. You just run and hide. So when it comes your turn, when four or five guys jump on you and they start beating you up, then and you don't get no help, you don't got no gripe coming. You can't gripe about it because, like, you had your chance and you didn't help somebody. So when it comes your turn to get help, you know, in other words, concern goes beyond what you buy and sell. You don't buy concern and sell concern, not genuine concern. Genuine concern is genuine. It's from the heart. And if you people in the United States have no heart, then that's not my fault. You dig? I have one. And that's my friends. And that's my family. And you could call that the world, or you could call it a little group of people that were struggling to save the world they lived in. They didn't want the world blown up. They seen the big bombs dropped, and they said, please don't blow the world up. We don't want to blow the world up. You know, and we didn't blow the world up. And we're not going to blow the world up. And that's our love. We give you the world, you know, and we didn't blow it up. Now the next generation got it. Now your job is air, water, trees, and wildlife. If you don't save your air, water, trees, and wildlife, our efforts mean nothing, because what good's the world without life on it? See, in other words, we didn't blow it up. We saved it. We stopped it. We checked the nuclear buttons. Now we're disarming this, and we're putting that on one computer, and we're coming back to the space wars, where we're going to check out all them computers and stop all them, you know, to where we can get one sky. And then we got one sky coming with great ships, big air ships coming, where we're going to cut down all the pollution. We've already got these things in motion. We've got things in motion that you don't even know about in your world yet. You watch them on TV and you think they're science fiction. But we were sincere, and we still are sincere, you know. And when I say we, I don't say we as if I pass out membership cards to say who we is. We is any human being that loves their life and wants to live on Earth. Any human being that wants to quit eating flesh and blood with their teeth. You see what I'm saying? And start living where life is, and not living where all the self-destructive madness that was left over from some war that's already been fought in the graveyards. Most people their minds are in the graveyards. Their whole behavior patterns have been set by people that are gone. Mark Twain?
You disavowed this idea that you were the leader of a religious cult and that type of thing. Yet in 1969, Susan Atkins, or Sadie Mae Gillespie, as you called her, said the family was sort of she equated it with a religious order. Do you agree with Sadie Mae's...
It became something beyond my will. I never said this court is in order yet. I've never rang my courtroom up for anything. I got no judgments on nothing. I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm a stubborn old tramp on the road. I'm a hobo. I'm a bum. I ain't got nothing to do with nobody. I don't like that. I throw rocks at people. Get away from me. I got thrown into this to the point of where everybody would come up and say, family, 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 to where it's even got in my mind. The family was only a music group. We had played in the corral on the Panga Canyon, and they said, what's the name you're going to call yourselves? I said, well, call ourselves Family Jams. So we were Family Jams, you know, and then...
That's Bonds Ranch?
Yeah, it was just Family Jams, and everybody there either took a part in the music. They were singing or playing or doing some sort of thing, sound equipment or whatever. We had cameras. I had a production company. We could have done anything we wanted, but all we were really doing was playing. We were doing it. You see what I'm saying? We used to call that the MMT. And we would it's play act, man. It's all a big act anyway, you know. It's just play act, different things. And then when this started correlating and other people started getting their inputs in it, then I seen, hey, I got no control over it, guy. I can't say, well, the Manson family composed 200 people and it did so and so and such and so, because I never paid any attention to most of those people. I'm fixing my doom buggy. I'm doing what I'm doing.
So in other words, you're saying that there may have been some of your friends who may have been misguided.
Each person was their own leader, and that family is theirs. The family that Sadie Glut sees is the family that was hers, and that's her family. And that's real to her. And I'll tell her, oh yeah, well, Sadie, I got to go somewhere right now, and I'd be doing something else. And whatever her reality is hasn't got anything to do with me. And same thing, Squeaky got a family in her mind. Each person got a circle of people in their life that they call their friends or their family. You got a circle of people that you run in? Would you call that your family or your friends?
Friends, family.
After you got arrested, they would say, oh, that's your family. And then they arrest everybody you know, throw everybody you know in jail and try you for a whole bunch of things, and then you become a family whether you like it or not. You're in a spaceship whether you want to be there or not. I got red on one side, blue on the other, green, gold, yellow. I got all the different girls that got busted are all colors. We set that on Indian Mesa up in the Santa Susana Mountains. And then you see all the people of the next generation come along talking about, oh, we're the rainbow people. And then you see A.B. Hoffman getting a haircut and Jerry Rubin getting a haircut and going over and telling everybody, all right, now we're all rainbow people. We're not hippies no more. We're in Giffies now, and we're rainbow people, and we're doing this for $1.35, you know, and we're getting rich again. And they're getting rich off the blood of the children. And some of the children are strong enough to get back through it. And when they get back through it and they see Timothy Leary, they're going to say, thanks a lot, Tim. You really did us good. You dumped us down the hole and ran off and left us. And then told on us and lied and cheated. Now you're a comedian, huh? Yeah, you definitely are a comedian, all right. And one day somebody might catch him in the alley and give him the end of a garbage can, what he's got coming. And then when he gets what he's got coming, you'll ask, do you have any reason to fear the Manson family? Because you created the Manson family. Now this wave of humanity that has came in, it's coming back out now. And it's mad. And it's angry. It never killed anyone. It didn't want to kill anyone. It would rather give its life than kill somebody. It says, here, man, take the gun, shoot me. You think what I'm saying? But let them live.
If that's the case, do you...
Level. I feel on another level. I see every time that they tell those lies and every time that they keep this perpetuate this damn helter-skelter, it adds more power. It gives me more power. It gives me power that pretty soon you're going to have the whole world trembling. And I'm going to have the controls then. And then you got guys now that got the controls, but they don't have the power. You put somebody with the power at the control, and you watch the old buggy rock. Because then the thing will be, then it'll be a whole different world. It'll be a whole different planet. It'll be a whole different perspective. The bureaucratical bullshit will go. There won't be no more bureaucratical madness because you can't afford this. Do you realize what you people are paying for? Do you realize what your tax dollars are paying for? You're paying for a bunch of people that are all stuck back in these things doing nothing. That walking back and forth is holding it. So the next wave of kids could have to pay their debts. You see? Rather than change it the way it's supposed to be changed, they won't give it up. So we got to wait for them to die. So we wait for a whole wave of them to die. The last four doctors died of heart attacks. The other doctor blew his brains out. Got two more doctors, they killed themselves in automobile accidents. So I'm going to sit here and wait for the medical association to die out again. So I can get out and then I can be sane. But until then, I'm insane. I'm totally insane because I put all these master plans together to destroy the whole atmosphere and pollute the ground. I created this big monster and I'm the white man. I'm no good. I'm terrible. I'm all the bad things, you know. And I don't see it that way, you know. I don't see it the way other people see it. That's the way they see it. And that's their judgment, that's their circle, and that's their family. My family, if they were all in here, I'd just look at it and grin.
So you say that you may have made some mistakes, but these mistakes were just exaggerated, blown out of proportion?
You know, you got
to... Because certainly you have to agree from somebody else.
You say mistake. It's a mistake to me is just a lesson, man. When I fall down on the first step, I learn to grab the second step. And if the second step breaks, I don't call it a mistake. I just go for the third step. And when the third step don't work, then I skip on up to the fourth step. You know,
But some of your mistakes, you do admit, impinged on other people's life, their ability to judge. Well, some of your mistakes may have impinged on somebody else's right to determine their values.
Well, let's split a hair there. The matriarch and the patriarch. The matriarch teaches mistakes. The patriarch doesn't know what a mistake is. There's no such thing as a mistake. Mistake, I can't understand. The word doesn't even correlate in my mind for anything. You know, mistake. People play mistakes. You know, that's stage play mistakes. You don't make no. How's the universe going to make a mistake? How can God make a mistake? You know, I mean, if you want to get to the words of it, you know, I mean, you go to the ultimate. If there's one transistor or one little light bulb burn out, then big planes won't fly. They don't make mistakes. The mechanics don't make mistakes. The engineers don't make mistakes. They work perfect. That's the reason they fly like they do. There's no mistake there. You know, I don't see any mistake. I can't think of any mistake. In other words, I don't even use that word. If you got another word, maybe I might understand what you're trying to say.
Things that acts that you had made may have have impinged upon somebody else. And you certainly could agree with that, could you?
I see what you're saying, yeah, but it's like this. You go to the ballet, and you see the perfection in motion that has been passed down for generations. You see this perfection, and it goes into your eyes, and it goes into your mind, and then pretty soon it becomes a part of you, and you dance. And you dance that dance. Is it their fault that you dance the dance? Does that make sense? In other words, people come to me and they see me move. They see what I can do. And then they say, hey, man, I didn't know I could do that. You know, and they say, all right, you really move. You know, and I said, yeah. And then they go around and they move like that. And then you see the kids all moving like that. Then you come and you say, is that your conspiracy to make those kids move like that? Because with the moves that you showed those kids, they went out and killed somebody. It's like a guy come up to me once and he was freaking out on acid. And he said, oh, man, I'm going crazy. He said, everything is all fucked up, man. The world is all miserable. And I said, no, it ain't, brother, man. I said, everything's all right. Everything's in harmony, man. I said, everything's perfect. I said, can't you see perfection? Look at it in yourself. He says, it is? I said, yeah. I said, it's a nice day, man. Look at the sun's out and everybody's having a good day. I said, it's a wonderful day. I says, can't you appreciate that? And he said, sure. I said, well, then relax your mind, man. You know, get all that negative vibration out of you and go on down the road and have a good day, man. So he came back 2 or 3 hours later and he said, I killed somebody. I said, why you come and tell me? That puts me back in prison, man. I don't want to hear what you did, son. That's your life. Don't put your road over on mine. I'm doing something over here. Well, you said everything was all right. You said everything was perfect. I said, yeah, but I didn't tell you to go do something like that. Now you're trying to give me the responsibility that your mom and dad should have. That's your mom and dad's responsibility. That's not my responsibility. I'm not your mom and dad. Why am I convicted and thrown in the damn nut board for 15 years and tormented and tortured because the parents don't want to take responsibility for their own damn children? What kind of silly shit is that? And then the wedding ring starts falling down, and everybody's divorcing everybody else, and then you wonder why your system is falling apart. It's falling apart because you didn't give me my rights down in the courtroom. You didn't face the truth about your own children in the 60s. They weren't bad kids. Most of those kids were graduated from school. Mary's a history teacher. Blue's a marine biologist. Red's an English literature major. I got the librarian right out of Berkeley. She's not bad. She's skinny. She's a beautiful girl. There's nothing wrong with her. Her mama had her all off in some bunch of crazy things that didn't make any sense, but she was working her way out of that, you know. There's nothing wrong with that woman, and she didn't do any wrong.
This is who again?
No, this is Mary. She's the one that got shot, and she had a shotgun out there in the street. She was shooting at the cop. That's where Patty Hearst covered that up with that Hawthorne gun robbery trip. Remember when Patty shot at the gun, the surplus store? Well, yeah. Mary and Gypsy had robbed the store to get some guns to try to get us out of the courtroom, see? Because we were going to get out of the courtroom. I was very indignant. I was very upset. See, here, let me explain this to you. In jail, there is a reality. And the reality is, if you go rob a liquor store, and you know that you can get 5 years in the courtroom, and you get caught, and you get 5 years in the courtroom, you got no gripe. You got no gripe coming. Go do your 5 years. You took a chance. You gambled 5 years of your life, and you lost. So you got no gripe coming. So when I was young, I would always be bitching about the system. I'd say, well, the lawyer did this and the lawyer did that. And the old man would tell me, he'd say, boy, did you do it? And I'd say, yeah, but he'd say, no buts. If you did it, you get it, and that's all there is to it. Shut your mouth. Do your time. Quit sniveling. Why don't you be a man about what, you know, what you're doing? I said, okay. So I lived with that philosophy. And when I stood in that courtroom down in Los Angeles, I could have explained this whole thing in 15 minutes. And I told the judge, I held my hands up to him, and I said, I got no blood on my hands, man. I got no responsibility for this thing that's going here. This is not my fault. It's not my world. It's not my projection. The only projection that I had into it was to get my brother out of jail, see. So when all that jumped off, had they given me my rights, according to that book that I read called Constitution of America, where it says I have the right to prepare and defend myself with the assistance of counsel. See, a lot of you people, young people, even though you go through college, you still don't understand that courtroom. That courtroom is the court of the kings and lords of the world. We as human beings came and broke the ground here called the United States of America. And the reason our system has perpetuated in such a way is because all the powers of Europe and England and the monarchies and all those big people, we have came over here and started another world to where each man in the United States has that power because he has that courtroom. That courtroom belongs to every human being in the United States. And if you take that courtroom away from one human being, you've taken that courtroom away from all human beings. Then what follows is you've got these kings and queens of yesterday. They're going to come and play croquet with your heads. They're going to take your courtrooms. They're going to take your money. They're going to take your country. They're going to take your resources. They're going to rip you off in every way you can think of because you didn't give your own children the benefit of the courtroom that your fathers fought in battles and died for. You know, it don't make sense. You send a whole wave of children over to die at Iwo Jima. You dig what I'm saying? And they died. They bled. They gave their whole lives for this. And then you take and you cheat the next generation out of theirs. And you remember when the Vietnam veterans came back? What kind of country would try their own soldiers for fighting in a war that they taught them to fight in? Now, you make sense out of that. Or this one. A veteran comes over. He's been shot in the leg. He's on crutches. And a young kid comes up and spits in his face. He said, "Hey, son, I was over there fighting that war for you." "No, you wasn't fighting for me." He said, "Well, you still got the supermarket, don't you? You're still speaking English, ain't you? You got your streets, you know, you got your..." They asked me, they said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "What else could I be? You know, like it or not." I said, "What do you mean? I was born in a Christian hospital. I walk on Christian streets. We have Christian armies, Christian governments, Christian..." Everything here in the United States is Christian, so how could I be anything else? It's free. This is the religious freedom. We earned the religious freedom. So when I see Baba Ramdas walking by or Rama Shamshams, I mean, I accept them. I don't throw fire on them. I got my rights. And if I ain't got them, then you have reason to fear the Manson. You have fear the snake because it's coming back at you and it's going to bite. And it hasn't got anything to do with me personally. And they say, "Well, this is you doing this." I said, "How can I be doing this? Someone raises up in Indiana and they kill 8 or 10 people. There's 5 or 6 people killed in Georgia. 2 or 3 people was killed in Texas. And a couple more people killed over here." And then they say, "You're doing all this." I'm doing all this because you didn't do right. Take it back to the DA. Ask the DA why he sold you all down the river. And he'll kick back in his big old $200,000-$300,000 automobile with his $500-$600 million pad. And he'll kick back and he's not a DA no more. He just used that as a stepping stone to go to bigger things, better things.
You aren't saying that you feel that, you know, crimes in America, murders, what have you, in general, are being blamed on you, that people think that they're...
Oh, certainly. Sure, they've got devil cults, and they've achieved all kinds of madness behind this. They've got all kinds of things going that are unreal. And I have big powers. I look at people and I say, "I got power in my eyes, unlock the door," you know, and they say, "No." I say, "Well, I never can believe what you're reading in newspapers, you know. I'm supposed to be some kind of, come on, man, it's a big ass. Goddamn thing's a fucking act, man." What I said right then is a fucking act. Everything's an act. It's all an act. The only thing that's not an act, the only thing that makes reality is death. And then they hang it on a cross and kneel down and pray to it. That's the only reality they understand. If you kill 8 or 10 people and you throw blood all over and you say, "Now you see what I'm saying," they say, oh, "We see what you're saying." And they still don't see what you're saying. You know? Can you imagine why we fought the Second World War? You know why?
No, you tell me.
We still don't know why. But how many people died? We won the war. We lost the principle. The principle's still there. The problems are still there. You know? but then it falls back on me, and I you know, I'm just one, I'm one ding ding. I ain't got no bell, or I got a bell, but I'm not gonna ring it.
At one time, you mentioned Richard Nixon earlier, and he at one time had said that you were nothing more than a murderer who, you know, for all intents and purposes, was a glamorous figure. Do you see yourself as a glamorous figure?
I don't see myself as anything. I don't think I say it. I haven't opened this courtroom. I ain't got no judges on myself. Here's the thing, man. You got to realize, I was raised for one thing: survive. That's all I know. That's all I learned. I'm like, I'm in the zoo looking at you. And if you come in my cage wrong, I will eat you. I will bite you. I will tear you to pieces. If you come in right, okay. If you come in wrong, then I got to do whatever I got to do. I am vicious. I am terrible. I am awful. If I'm invoked, you can call that devil. You can call it Satan. You can call it God. You can call it anything you want. You know, but don't invoke me, because if you invoke me, then you got another war. We just stopped one war. We don't need another war. If they're going to have another war, you did, I don't want to be no part of no war, man. You know, I don't want to be a part of hurting nobody. I don't like to get hurt. I don't want to hurt nobody. I don't want to die, therefore I don't want to kill nobody. You did? Even though in my own spiritual self, I know there's no such thing as die or you know, it's a game. Life and death is one. You know, in the chambers that I live in, but I'm a little beyond time in the minds of a lot of people that haven't been in jail as long as I have. See, you got to consider, 36 years in jail is a long time, guy. Some people can't survive a year in jail; they go crazy. You know, I have sat for 15 years looking at the wall with the cockroaches. Just sat there. I don't read books. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to radio. In fact, your station is the only station I listen to. It's okay if Sharon Tate's mother gets up and says, I wish someone would kill Charlie Manson. But what if I get up and I get two or three guys going home and I say, I hope someone kills Sharon Tate's mother? I think she would lose. If she wanted to play a battle like that, I think she would end up second best. But I don't want to do that. They said, well, what do we do? She said she hopes someone kills you. I said, well, tell her, why don't she come? Why don't she come and do it? Why don't she come and do it? I never heard her daughter. I never even thought about her daughter. Didn't care about her daughter. She lost her daughter in the Second World War. It had nothing to do with me. Yeah.
Let me ask you, how do you relate to other prisoners? Do you interact with other prisoners? Do you have friends here?
I've got a lot of good brothers in here. Got a lot of good brothers in jail. All my family's in jail. If I was raised up in prison, where's my family? If I got a family, where's it at? If you come up and you say, all right, here's your family ticket. You're in charge of the family. I say, okay. And they say, it's your family. I say, all right. Well, who raised me? Jail, prison. A policeman raised me. Convicts raised me. Administrators raised me. You know? So I'm an inside person, you know. And they even did a thing on Star Trek that really got me. They had a parallel universe where they had these two guys. They had to get one guy on the other side. Well, I'm like a parallel universe in a lot of ways, you know, because I don't fit in what you guys do. And I never try. Even though I see over the air, I'm looking up over Universal Studios, and I see up over Malibu, you know, and I see all the way to Ireland, and I see the IRA and the Biscuit Bay and the bump bump, and then I get on my bike and I go back in the mountains and I smoke a little grass and play a lot of music. And anybody comes, I say hi, and they say hi, I say hi. They say, how are you? I say, how are you? They say, I'm fine, I say, I'm fine. They say, I like you. I say, I like you. They say, I don't like you. I say, okay, I don't like you. You know, I just learned to reflect people back to themselves, because, man, it's not, what am I going to tell somebody? You know? If you start informing people that are misinformed, you'd spend the rest of your life informing people that are misinformed. I would feel I'd achieve something if we could stop the misinforming of people and inform them properly.